before we turn to Scripture, how about this? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What assurance we have in Christ. If you have been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus, sometimes I wonder, you know, this old world, we act like it's really bad, but this is as bad as it's going to get for the child of God. You know, when we hear the phrase heaven on earth, and Paul was there and couldn't even describe it. That's what awaits us. It's a beautiful song. You do have your Bibles. We'll be in 1 John this morning, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. As I began to study this week, a passage of Scripture just kept coming to my mind. It's in the same chapter. It's just not what we're going to cover this morning. Chapter 2, verse 19. It's what John writes. It says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us." You know, there's little doubt that those John refers to, as we talked about last week, his little children. There's little doubt that some of those had some major questions and concerns of what they were seeing and what they were hearing around Asia Minor during this time. I mean, those who went out from us, and those are people that began and started with them. You know, that's no doubt some questions and concern. These false teachers and these teachings were being spread, as Acts 20 says, by people that began with them. Man, that's disheartening. That's concerning. No doubt these men and some women at that time, with their false teachings and their wrong beliefs, no doubt they had been taught justification by faith alone. Apollos, Peter, John. I mean, there's no doubt. But boy, did they get it wrong. It was more information than transformation. You know, James 2:17 reads, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' James says, 'Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Now, James is not saying a works-based salvation. What he is saying is he carries on day to day because of the inner change God has produced in his life. Ezekiel chapter 37. But these people were no doubt living in a way of misunderstanding that. We read that in chapter 1, you know, verse 6, "I claim to walk in light, I live in darkness." Verse 8, "I claim to know Jesus, and I don't sin anymore." There's that justification, maybe wrong. "Hey, I did this, so I'm good now." Or maybe in verse 10 of chapter 1, "I don't sin, so I don't need you, Jesus." They uphold to a live like I want to mentality. This information that now that I know, I'm good. You know, that get right with Jesus box has been checked off, so now I can live it up. Or now I can believe this and I believe that. Man, it's no doubt that those whom John's writing to, that those that started with them, that have left and began to believe and teach different things, that you got to think some of the little children are thinking, man, if they left, if they departed, how do I know that I am in the light? How do I know that I truly belong to God? How do I know that Christ is my advocate, my friend, and not judge? No doubt questions that they answered, or the concerns they asked.
And I began to study and study, and this just kept coming on and coming on. I got to thinking, man, don't we have the same questions and concerns today? Family members that believe differently. Family members that live out what they say they believe differently. Co-workers. Religious groups fight among the gospel. It's like they threw Galatians 6:10 out the window. Treat everyone good, especially those in the household of faith. Man, it's tough. And as I look at our world, and I have such a heart for young people, and like I said last week, no wonder they're confused. It breaks my heart, but I see this. We see this in 2:19. We see this in our world today. This flu shot gospel mentality. This I got my fire insurance mentality. I'm good now. All this information, but no transformation. But just as John penned this letter, just as John penned this letter to comfort genuine believers of Asia Minor, let us this morning find comfort in God's all-sufficient, inerrant word that we can know. That we can know without a doubt that we have been brought from death to life. That we have been brought out of darkness into light. And we have been bought with Christ's redeeming blood. Let us find comfort in this. As we live in a world where this truth and that truth, let us find comfort in God's truth this morning. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. It says, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But the love of God is..." Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse 4. "Whoever says, 'I am in Him,' but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, "But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." Father God, we thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You that we can run to Your word, that we have confidence in Your word, that we can find truth in Your word. Father God, that we can seek after You in Your word. Father, no doubt Your presence is here. Father, clean our hearts. Blot distractions from our mind that we may worship You this morning. Speak to us and change us. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. As John writes, there's some things that I want to look at this morning in this passage. One, I want to look at the saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. So make sure we understand that. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. Two, the exam. We're going to see an exam. False assurance of salvation, or a biblical assurance of salvation. And then we're going to see a God-honoring obedience should drive our daily lives. I want to look at those three things this morning from this passage of Scripture. One, saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. The exam, false assurance or biblical assurance of salvation. And God-honoring obedience should drive our daily lives. First, let's look at the saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. Verse 3, John writes, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." And by this, and he begins this, "and by this," after teaching the first two verses of chapter 2, or in his letter, after teaching the doctrine of remission, or teaching on the remission of sins, how Christ has canceled our sin debt by His atoning work on the cross, after he teaches that, okay, Now John's going to encourage those who faithfully depend on it. And by this, pointing back to propitiation, all those things. After teaching on that remission of sins, how do you feel about your sins? Or is there a sensitivity of your sins? And if you are my little children, then your sins are forgiven. After he teaches that remission of sins, he's now going to turn to those who depend on it. John uses this transitional phrase to encourage assurance among the believers. And just like in chapter 1, he's going to present his readers with additional ways to verify that they have a genuine relationship with God through Christ. Just as he gives them a test in chapter 1, how do you look at sin? That's going to verify your salvation. He then teaches of the remission of sins of God, the advocate we have in Christ, the propitiation, our sin debt has been paid. Then he gives back another way. Hey, this is how you know. He's going to give us another test, some more exams to see if we are in the faith. He says, and by this we know. Amen. John does not write, we can hold to God's inerrant word because it is truth. Not because Pat says so, because God says so. It says, we know. John does not write, we hope, we think, or even we wish. None of those. And by this, we know. We know. We know what? That we have come to know him. That's kind of weird how this is laid out. Okay, so bear with me. This is fun to me. Okay? That we have come to know him. This is a verb tense of how. How come to know. How come to know. This points actually backwards. This verb tense of that we have come to know, have come to know, points back to a past action that has continuing results in the present. Let me rephrase that. And by this, we know that we have come to know him, have come to know them, points back at a past action that has continual results in the present. Salvation. Salvation is that past action that continues. You see what he's doing? What he's doing, that saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. We have come to know him. Those who savingly repent and believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the supernatural work of God by his grace alone that brings about the new birth. What that is pointing back to is that purpose, is that action, salvation. We have come to know him because God has supernaturally done that work in our lives. Yes, God. And I will preach it. I try to find it in every sermon I preach. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, that so no one may boast. Yes, God does that work. And men and women, God does not fail. He who begins a good work in you will see it to completion. Philippians 1:6. Titus 3:3-7. And you don't have to flip there, but listen to this beautiful thing of God saves. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions, past our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we may become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. We know that we have come to know Him. We know it because that work has been done. It is pointing back to a past action with continual results. Remember, if you're truly saved, it's not a flu shot. It wasn't a one-and-done thing. It's a continual life of obedience. But it still begs to differ. How do we know? How do we know for sure? John, you're writing this. We study Scripture. We find these verb tenses, and by this, we know that we have come to know Him. Have come to know. That action's been done. Well, how do I know if that action's been done? John's test. If you keep my commandments. And by this, we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. Listen, it's cause and effect. You understand? That work that's been done, that work that's been done is going to produce obedience. The cause, the work, the supernatural of God, okay, taking our dead heart and giving us a heart of flesh, writing His Spirit in our hearts, will produce obedience. We will strive to keep His commandments. You can't have one without the other. That's how we know. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Men and women, assurance flows from obedience. Because without the salvific knowledge of Jesus Christ, know Him, guys, we would never, on our own, obey Him. Or even want to obey Him. Without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that comes from God, we wouldn't even want to obey Him. This is how we know, if we keep His commandments. God has done that work in our life, and we desire with our entire being to be obedient to Him. Obedience, like any other deed or work, does not save us, men and women, but it does give evidence that that supernatural work has been done, that that past action has taken place, and it continues to give results. His commandments. Keep. Keep. Present tense. Continue. A lifestyle. A walk in chapter 1. A walk following Christ, His commandments. And His teachings. And we keep His commandments because they are precious to us. Men and women, they are precious to us. They're not burdensome. We don't find following Christ and living for Him and His glory burdensome. Not the changed heart. We are new creations created in Christ Jesus, and our behavior has been transformed. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful assurance that we have. Well, how do we know if we know? Examine yourself. It's John's test. Do you keep His commandments? Because listen, only a changed heart will want to obey and keep His commandments. That's what John is saying. My little children, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. For anyone who repents and believes. Well, how do I know if I repented and believed? How do I know that supernatural work has been done in my life? This is how we know that we have come to know Him, that work has been done, if we keep His commandments. Saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. Period. Period. Just as if you are wretched over your sin and you confess it, as that is evidence that there's a work been done in you, because the natural man does not feel bad about his sins. Come on, people, if we're honest, we're in here and some of us are truly saved and some of us still like our sin. Well, just like it, if you love His Word If you love His commandments, glorifying, repenting of sin, spending time with Him, loving others, His commandments and His teachings, we want that. The natural man does not. How do we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments? 1 John chapter 5, if you flip one page, if you look at the end of verse 2, it says, we love God and obey His commandments. How do we know? Do you love God and do you obey His commandments? This is how we know that we have come to know Him. We keep His commandments. Men and women, do you love God and keep His commandments? I tell my basketball team all the time, I don't care where you're at. There is no gray area. You help us win or you help us lose. If you walk by a piece of trash on campus and you don't pick it up, you help me lose. Whether that has nothing to do with the game. Yes, it does. If you are a jerk in the classroom and you disrespect your teachers, you are going to help me lose because you're going to disrespect me. Everything. There's no great. Men and women, do you love God? If you do, you obey His commandments. You obey His commandments. How about John? And John has a lot to say about this. You don't have to flip there. Let's look at his gospel. John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Men and women sitting in here, do you love Him? Then keep His commandments. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. John 14, 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John is telling us. Here's the test. How do we know that we know that we know that we have come to know Him? If we keep His commandments. Because listen to me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Whoever keeps my commandments loves me. Anyone who loves me keeps my word. If you keep my commandments, I will abide in you. I will live with you. Listen to me. Listen. If you don't, you don't know Him. That past action work of salvation has not happened in your life. Because the natural man does not want anything to do with God. Read 1 Corinthians. I know that's hard. But John is writing to his little children because he is a pastor who loves them. And he wants to get them encouragement and assurance of their salvation in a nasty time, in a nasty world. Well, guess what? I may not know you like I know Mandy Reese and Riley, but because God loves me, I love you. And I'm not going to sugarcoat God's word. If you keep His commandments, it's because a supernatural work has been done in your life. And rest assured, this is as bad as it's going to get for you, men and women. This is how you know, if you know, if you know. Because the effect comes from the cause. When God changes your heart, you will obey. Period. If you do not, you don't know Him. First, John tells us saving knowledge of Jesus will produce obedience. Make sure you understand that. I did not say knowledge of Jesus. I did not say information. I said transformation, the saving knowledge that God does in His people's lives. I read from James. You want to hear some scary stuff? Read James 2:19. When he says, oh, you believe in me? Good. Even the demons believe in God. And shudder. Men and women, some people, they are demons who know that God's alive and they shudder. They have an emotional reaction. There are people that live today who know there's a God and tell Him, no, I don't want nothing to do with you. Wow. Wow. God have mercy on us. Now John is going to give his readers the exam. We've seen the test. How do I know that past action work's been done? Do you keep his commandments? Do you love his commandments? Now he's going to give the exam. Here's the exam. A false assurance of salvation or a biblical assurance of salvation? I call it the lying professors. The lying professors that talk versus the truth possessors. Here's the exam. Are you a lying professor that talks a lot? False insurance. Look at verse 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Because remember, if you don't keep his commandments, that work has not been done. Here he is. He's proven it. Right here again. The first test. Whoever says, I know him, I know Jesus, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. It's funny. Look at verses in chapter 1 if you're on the same page. And if not, don't big deal. I try to tell you the truth. That was a joke. I tell you the truth. Okay, verses 6. I'm not very good at jokes, so I don't use them. Verse 6, 8, and 10 all say, if we say. If we say. What's he say with verse 4? Whoever says. Remember, we talked about this after the introduction. People that say this and live like that, we have words for them. We have words for them. We call them hypocrites. A guy, they know Jesus and they don't love and keep his commandments, they are a liar. Period. Period. If anyone claims to know him yet lives their life in disobedience, is a liar. If you live unrepentant and disobedient lives, then you do not know Christ, no matter what you say. And that's a harsh truth. And that's a truth that needs to be proclaimed today. With grace, but in boldness. That if you know him, if you know him, but yet you don't live the way he calls us to live, then that work has not been done in your life, and you are a liar. John boldly exposes the danger of this self-deception concerning salvation, a false salvation, damning those who fail to see their spiritual blindness, repent, and see grace truth. He is boldly exposing that. Those that do not see their spiritual blindness, those that do not repent of their sins, those who do not receive and embrace truth. 1 John 3:7. I don't know about your Bible. I have an ESV. 1 John 3:7 begins just like 1 John 2:1. Little children, let no one what? Deceive you. Here we go. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Is Christ the righteous, your advocate? If so, you will pursue righteousness. Little children, don't let anybody... If you say this but live like this, you're lying, deceiving yourselves. You don't know him. Because if you know him and that work's been done, you will pursue a life of righteousness and holiness. Period. He's telling us that. James tells us the same thing, right? In 1:22, what's he call us to do? Be doers of the word. Not hearers only, what? Deceiving yourselves. You see this exam? Those who say they know him, those who say they love him, know him, but do not keep his commandments, they are a liar. Listen, church, if you know him, you will love him. If you know him, you will love him. And if you love him, you will desire to spend time with him. There's my wife, 16 years in May. There's a testimony of God's grace right there, that she has lived with me that long. In 2004, 2005, May 21st, if I say I do, and I walk out that church door, and I never speak to her again, ever, I never come home, I never want nothing to do with her, do I love her? Are you going to tell me that I love my wife? You're going to tell me that you know God. Because if you know God, you love God. And if you love God, you're going to spend time with God through His Word and prayer. If you only pick up your Bible when you come to church, I would examine myself. Okay? Nobody backslides for 15 years. You understand me? That's called lost. I've been there. If you know Him, you will love Him. If you love Him, you will spend time with Him in His Word and in prayer. And if you spend time with Him, you will cherish and you will submit to His Word and commands. You will cherish it. You will love it. You will want to do those things. If you know Him, you will love Him. You will spend time with Him. When you spend time with Him, you will cherish His commands. You will lovely and willingly obey to submit to His commands. And if you love His commands and submit to His Word, you will live a life to pursue holiness and righteousness. Period. Period. My friend Casey sent me a commentary clip from John Calvin as I was walking through 1 John. He has been reading it, and no doubt reading after better pastors than myself. But it was interesting as he is walking through this about keeping commandments. And I'm not going to read that whole thing from Calvin, but I'll tell you what he's saying. Those that claim to be on the Jesus team, those who claim to know Him, yet do not keep His commandments on the Jesus team, outside the bounds of Scripture, and you are unrepentant of them, then you are in complete disobedience to commandment number three. Ready? Exodus 27. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Wow. As I begin to read that, does that open your eyes? You claim to know Jesus, yet you don't represent him the way you should represent him. You do not. You claim to know Jesus, but that work has not been done in you. God have mercy on you, because again, God will not hold you guiltless. Ow. The supreme judge. You know, Jesus, man, who destroyed your joy and soul. He's not going to hold you guiltless. If you say you're on the Jesus team and you live like the world. Period. Wow. As I began to read through those Ten Commandments again, wow. Wow. Even in that article that Casey sent me, it says Calvin actually says, like, this is the number one thing we should get from Exodus or Commandment 3. Do not take the Lord's name. Do you have no reverence of God? Do you have no reverence of God? That you claim to know Him, yet you misrepresent Him? It's just like marriage. What a joke it is in reverence of God. I don't pray and ask God, God, please come meet with us. No, this is God's house. He is here. I pray God change me so I can meet with you. People come to His house and they make vows in front of Him, swearing to love people to death do them part. And as soon as something goes bad, divorce time. We have no fear of God in our world today, just like back then. You claim to know Him, but you do not commit His keep His commandments. You are a liar. But those who truly belong to Christ hear His voice and obey it. Y'all remember how Jesus replied to Pilate in John 18? This is how he did. For this purpose I have come into the world. This is Pilate questioning Jesus. We know that story. This is how he responds. Ready? For this is the purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth listens to my voice. Listens to my voice. Those who belong to Christ hear His voice. This is complete contrast to those who do not obey. John, again, in his gospel, in chapter 14, verse 24, writes this: whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but of the Father's who sent me. So God, Jesus is saying, what my Father in heaven says, that if you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. And if you don't love me, you don't know me. It doesn't matter what you say. Are you, here's the exam, examine yourselves. John starts this off, proving that the saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. That's how you know if you know if you know. Then he says, all right, well, here you go. Let's test ourselves. Let's examine. Do you just say it? Are you a lying professor of false assurance? Do you say you know him, yet you don't keep his commandments? If that is true, you don't know him. You don't love him. And that supernatural work has not occurred in your life. But, John writes, are you a truth possessor? Do you possess truth? In verse 5, let's look at biblical assurance. Love possessors, biblical assurance. Verse 5, but, there's that transition, the direct contrast of verse 4. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever keeps his word. Just like in verse 7 and 9. Remember chapter 1, verse 6, 8 and 10? If we say, verse 7 doesn't say that. It says, as we walk in light. Verse 5 keeps his word. No, there's nothing that needs to be said. Nobody needs to say anything because his or her walk is so evident by daily submission to Christ, his word, and his commandments. They don't have to say anything. They keep his word. And if they keep his word, how do we know they're saved? Because John says that's how you know that you are a child of God. How do we know we have come to know him? If you keep his commandments. If you keep his word. If you keep his commandments. The one who walks and keeps is able to do so. Why? Because while we are weak, he is not. Where we fail, he does not. Men and women, how are we able to keep his commandments? Because we are powered by God and his Holy Spirit. How about Philippians 2:13? For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Again, we know that we know him because that work has been done. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word. Whoever keeps his word. They don't even have to say anything. Their everyday lives is driven by God, the Holy Spirit. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Now is this you? Some of it's repeating that chapter of verse 3, but is this you? Is this the biblical assurance? Do you fall under this category? Do you keep his words? Because if you do, it says, in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Now again, in Greek, that really means the love for God. Now remember, we've already talked, the natural man, apart from God, does he even want to love God? No. No. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly, the love of God is perfected. In Greek, love of God is translated the love for God. For God. The love believers have for God is perfected. Now hold on. Not means that we love God perfectly. None of us still hold or do commandment one perfectly. None of us love God every second of every day the way he commands and deserves. No, we don't. That's not what John is saying. The believer's love is perfected. Not that we love him in perfection, but that salvation is accomplished. That's what he's meaning. Remember, this is how we know we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. cause and effect. It has been done in our life. We're going to obey. The transformation has happened. God has saved my wretched soul. Verse 5. Whoever keeps his commandments, then the love of God is perfected. Salvation, that past action, has taken place and is continual in your life because it's powered by God. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly the love of God is perfected. 1 John 4:7 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and what? Knows God. Are you under this category? But whoever keeps his word, then the love of God has been perfected. Salvation has happened because love comes from God. And that's how we know if we know God. That's what he's writing in 1 John 4:7. It says, love is from God, and with this love comes a deep desire to continually, remember, these verb tenses do, they have to mean something, men and women. It's a continual lifestyle to submit and obey Scripture. Guys, this is not an emotional or mystic event. Okay, this is not one and done. It's a continued lifestyle by the power of God. Okay? It's not, whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Salvation is accomplished. Remember, salvation, justification, saved, sanctification, lifelong process, glorification when we leave this world. Okay? It's not a one and done thing. And it's powered by God's grace. Is this who you are? Whoever keeps his word. Whoever keeps his word. Then the love of God is perfected. A genuine love for God is only from God, men and women. Because again, apart from His grace, we would want absolutely nothing to do with Him, His love, His mercy, or His commandments. We would want nothing to do with it. So is this you? But whoever keeps His commandments, then the love of God is perfected. Salvation has been accomplished in your life because you keep His commandments. It's not, I keep His commandments, so I deserve to be saved. No. You keep His commandments is evidence that that past action has taken place. Is this you? It's a simple test. Do you keep His commandments? Well, I don't know what His commandments are. Then you're not spending time with Him in His Word. So I would question if you even know Him. Here's your exam. Do you keep His commandments? Do you keep His commandments? And this, he finishes verse 5, by this we may know that we are in Him. By this, the genuine love. The genuine love we have for God that only comes from where? God. That's how we know salvation. That's how we know if we know if we know. Because that past action that only God can do, salvation allows us, drives us to be obedient. This is how we know. By this we know. By this genuinely love that we have for God. And then, men and women, that's biblical assurance. You can be assured. You can be assured. And let me read this again. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this love that we get from God, we may know that we are in him. Assurance. Now let's get to the best part. Let's talk about what we have in Christ. And you'll want to write these verses down. Let's talk about what we have in Christ. Okay? We know saving knowledge of Christ will produce obedience. That's how we know if we know we know. We looked at the exam. Do you or don't you? And if you do, let's just take a pause and look who we are in Christ. That we may know that we are in Him. You ready? In Christ Jesus, we are given grace before the world was created. That's in 2 Timothy 1:9, if you want to look it up. We are given grace before the world was ever created. Wow. If you are in Christ, you are chosen by God before creation. Ephesians 1:4. If you are in Christ, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. Romans 8:38-39. If you are in Christ, you are redeemed and forgiven for all your sins. Ephesians 1:7. If you are in Christ, you are justified before God by Christ's righteousness. Not your own. Christ's righteousness is imputed to you. You are justified. You are made right with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And in Christ, you are a new creation and a son or daughter of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is who we are, men and women in Christ. We are given grace. We are loved with a love that can't be separated. We are redeemed, purchased back by Christ's blood. We are forgiven. We are justified. And we are sons and daughters of the King. Wow. This is who we are. And this, we may know that we are in Christ. How? If you keep His commandments. Last, we can see, real quick, God-honoring obedience should drive our daily lives in verse 6. We've seen that the saving knowledge of Christ will, not may, it will produce obedience. That's how we know if we know. If you're obedient and keep His commandments, we see the exam. Okay, take the test. Is it a false assurance or a biblical assurance? Are you in Christ? And last, we'll see that God-honoring obedience should drive our daily lives. Look at verse 6. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Whoever abides in Him, and we just talked about being in Christ. Whoever claims to be in Christ ought to walk the same way Christ walked. God-honoring obedience should drive our daily lives and our performance. We should wake up every morning, crucify our flesh, and say, use me today, God. I want to honor you, God. I want to walk as Christ walked. Remember when I told the story a couple weeks back about the father and the son who lived on the farm? And they got up real early in the snow, and Big Daddy was walking in the snow, and little boy wanted to follow, but he couldn't follow in the footsteps, so he kept falling down. But if you look at that story, did that boy want to be like his father? Yes. We're not going to follow perfectly, but do we want to be like Jesus? Is it evident? It should drive us. We ought to walk in a way Jesus walked. Christians, you should walk. Your everyday conduct should be worthy of your calling. Your everyday conduct, your calling, your way you live, it should be worthy of your calling. What drives and motivates you? How about our example? How about our example? How about Jesus in John 6:38? For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of He who sent me. Is that your prayer? Christ is our example. Guys, get off the wagon that, well, Christ knows that I can't be perfect, so He's okay. The Bible, chapter and verse, please. The Bible calls us to be holy as our Lord is holy. Is that you? Is your example Jesus? Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but He who sent me. What's your will? What motivates you? How about 14:31? Jesus says, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. No one had to ever question if Jesus loved the Father. Do people question you? Because if you love Him, then you know Him. And if you know Him, that supernatural work has been done in your life, and you will obey. You don't have to say anything. It's evident. What motivates you? Does your God honor and obedience motivate your daily actions in life? It should. Now again, not going to walk perfect like Jesus did. But guys, He is our example, and He gave us a pattern to follow. Christians, little Christ, gave us a pattern. If anyone claims to know Christ, then it will be evident in his or her life. Believers will guard Christ's commandments and teachings because of his or her passionate love for truth and the Lord. Let me say that again. If anyone claims to know Christ, then it will be evident in his or her daily life. Believers will guard Christ's commandments and teachings because of his or her passionate love for truth and the Lord. And men and women, this is the key to real assurance. This is the key. I ask you again, do you possess that blessed assurance? Do you possess it? That comes with knowing Jesus Christ. Not knowing of Him, but intimately being in a relationship with God through Jesus and His Word and in prayer. Do you possess that blessed assurance that comes with salvation through Christ and Christ alone? Not what you do, not what you say. Remember, all this stuff that we talk about doing His commandments can only be done if the work has been done inside you. Do you have that assurance that that has been done in your life? Examine yourself, please, today. Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Examine yourself today, please. Is there enough evidence in your everyday life to convict you of being a Christian? If you get to that and you realize it is not, that there's not enough evidence to prove that you know Christ, what is so important that's stopping you from seeking Him and crying out to Him? What is stopping you? Do you not read the first two verses of chapter 2? We have an advocate. We have someone that took the fight that we can't win. And to do it for us. And not wait for us to clean up. For while we were sinners, Christ died for us. If there's not enough evidence to prove that you know God, then what is so important that's stopping you today from hitting your knees and crying out to Him? And if tomorrow morning, do it again. And Tuesday morning, do it again. Wednesday morning, do it again. Call me. I'll stay up with you and we'll go through that. I can't save you, but we'll go through this word until you have the blessed assurance that you're in Christ. What is stopping you? John already in his second chapter already gives us two exams. One is, how do you feel about sin? How do you feel about sin in chapter 1? If you're okay with it, examine yourself. Then in chapter 2, are you obedient? And are you submissive? Won't take you long tomorrow to find somebody that says, yeah, I believe in the Bible, but they don't submit to it. They don't hold it authority over their life. They may even try to tell you what they think it means. Do you keep His commandments? Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Has that supernatural work taking place? If not, cry out to Him. Just like I finished last week. Be the tax collector. Be the tax collector. God, have mercy on a sinner like me. And if that has taken place in your life, you're obedient. And enjoy your Lord's day in the blessed assurance. Father God, we love You and we praise You. Father, we love You in the good times. We praise You in the good times. Father God, help us to love You in the hard times and in the bad times. Father, as we walk through Your Scripture, Father, there are hard truths. But Father God, we're so thankful for assurance. Father, we're thankful for Your grace and Your mercy. That, Father, a wretched sinner like me can come to know You through the person, finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, for those in this building, Father, that know you, Father, continue to give us desires and passion to leave this parking lot and enter a mission field and tell dying men about you. Help us to leave this parking lot in a way that we live our lives worthy of the calling. Help us to leave this parking lot with a deep passion to fall deeper in love with you every day. And oh God, for those that are in this room, that are leaving this parking lot, and they do not know you, Father God, save them. Father, draw them to yourself and do the work that only you can do. Father God, save your people. Father God, save lost sinners. Father, do so for your glory and your honor. Be with us today. Help us to focus and meditate on you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.